And welcome back to Cinema Vino. This is going to be a little discussion of Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings.
Aloha.
Ooh. Got Travis and Sean.
Hello.
Taylor is still somewhere deep in the Himalayas, so they've actually sent some guides out to look for him to make sure that he returns back to civilization.
In my head,
I thought he was in K2.
In my head, it's killed a Yeti and skinned it and is wearing its furs.
Yeah.
That was actually conquering. That's why he's out there. He's going out to hunt the Yeti.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, don't come back until you have the hide of a Yeti.
Prove to me that the Yeti is real.
So anyway, so we're going to three-man this pod about Shang-Chi. This is going to be a spoiler-free talk about it. We've all seen it.
It's going to be a Shang-3.
Exactly. So you're safe to listen to this one if you haven't seen the movie yet. So we're going to do a little Pinot Blanc, Oregon. This is the Irie, just because it has been so hot here where we are in Oklahoma. We're just in the dog days of summer right now. And it's just been 100 plus degrees Fahrenheit heat index, just awful. So we need something a little white wine that's refreshing, easy to drink. So Pinot Blanc.
Easy breezy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful. CoverGirl. It's our new sponsor.
Four overweight middle-aged white dudes. Sponsored by
CoverGirl. It's like maybe it's Maybelline. maybe it's onion rings. This is a Pinot Blanc. It's a refreshing white wine. This is from the Willamette Valley in Oregon. Willamette is rhymes with dammit, rhymes with Janet. So think Rocky Horror. Mm-hmm. It is west central portion of Oregon. So Portland, Salem, Eugene. It's all the major, cities are in that area. Beautiful area, and the Willamette River runs through the whole thing. It's very pretty if you ever have a chance to go there. Great wines. So Pinot Blanc is a wine you don't see very often in the United States. It's grown in the Alsatian region of France. So that's an area that has changed hands between France and Germany and Germany and France throughout history. So people there are actually trilingual. All the signs are in three languages. So this has kind of a dry minerality to it. And when we say minerality, it's almost like kind of a chalky limestone kind of flavor to it. So that's kind of a trademark of Alsatian whites. This one kind of borrows that a little bit. A little more floral, a little more fruity, but still has that kind of, refreshing mineral taste to it. So just food for thought. Hmm. So Shang-Chi is a Marvel film.
Well, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
And the Legend of the Ten Rings is a Marvel film and based on the character. And, I didn't know a whole lot about this character going in other than it existed. That's pretty much all I could tell you.
Yeah.
Hadn't read a whole lot about it, didn't know much. I only knew about the Ten Rings via Iron Man and his story. So, and the Mandarin villain.
Iron Man 3 and then the one little one-off they did. What was it called? Like...
Hail to the King.
Hail to the King. Mm-hmm. Kind of closing out that chapter.
Yeah. So this movie was interesting for me. It was kind of a nice, like, breaking new ground for the MCU. So, Trav, you want to give a little background about Shang-Chi?
So Shang-Chi is basically in the 70s. Marvel was doing, looking into a lot of, like kung fu and blaxploitation. That's where you get Luke Cage and then Iron Fist. And obviously Shang-Chi. And Shang-Chi was basically had no superpowers and was kind of their version of Bruce Lee. And I think he crossed paths with like Luke Cage and Iron Fist and Daredevil. And I think he's later actually been an Avenger in last 10 years, I think, or so. But I really don't know much about the character either.
Yeah.
And I've, read Marvel for years, so it's only when he's guest starred in another book. I mean, I know of him, and I've read comics with him in it, but I've never actually read a Shang-Chi solo series.
If I'm not mistaken, that he kind of went away for a long time because the 70s origins were a little problematic.
Yes.
And so it was kind of a trick for any writer to readopt that character without also bringing up a lot of the problematic origins. So I think when Ultimate came around, they were able to reintroduce the character, kind of redo some of the origins. I mean, in the comics, his father is Fu Manchu, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Which, just on its name alone, is you can see where this is going. And so I think that's why it was really dormant for a long time, sort of through that golden age of comics, that 70s through 90s range, where things got, you know, really big and a lot of the bigger names sort of stood out. So I think Shang-Chi was quieter, brought back up with the Ultimate run in the 2000s-ish, and now is obviously in the cinemas. So
we would say this is a minor character in comic book history.
Yeah, I mean, but Marvel has done really great things about taking, you know, B, C, and D-list characters and bringing them to the forefront in a new and interesting way. I would kind of liken this, the movie version, to be kind of like Wesley Snipes' Blade, because the Blade that you see on screen is not at all what he was like in the comics before. And the movie has thus turned around and informed how he is now portrayed in the comic books. And that might be how Shang-Chi goes forward with this in the comics anyway.
Yeah,
and I think they did a pretty good job of reestablishing the character. Casting was really good, you know, keeping it high level. I think the martial arts in this movie were incredible.
Yeah.
You know, all the fight choreography was really good.
Yes.
But I think it's cool. I think what Marvel's doing as a whole is bringing in some more minor characters. They did the same thing with, like, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy were not main players for the most part until MCU kind of came in, made them bigger names. Now everyone knows who Groot is. And before, he was just a talking tree.
Yeah.
So
Rocket.
MCU's shown, like, a really good willingness to bring some non-prevalent characters up. I think part of that is they've run out of characters to put into movies.
So this is the first Asian superhero in a Western film to headline. Is that correct?
Oh, man, I don't know.
I've seen that pop up before. I believe that's correct. This is the first, like, headlining major Asian superhero, which is...
I don't mean to be telling stories at school, so I can't speak to that.
Yeah. And yeah, I think Marvel likes doing that too, you know, kind of breaking that new ground. So, which is cool.
And actually, Awkwafina, in this movie was one of my favorite characters.
Yeah. She was really good.
Yeah. Cause she had some great lines, and it's, you know, there's a lot of fantasy and spectacle to work with. And she's, you know, definitely kind of the audience going around and being like, what the hell is that? What is this play? What is this thing? What does that mean?
Yeah.
She does a lot like, Kat Dennings playing Darcy in the Thor movie and in WandaVision.
Yeah.
So she's got a little bit of that same role, but yeah, she does it very well.
Yeah. And eventually becomes more involved directly in the action.
Oh yeah.
So, which is cool. So Reader's Digest version, what did you guys think of the film for people who are going to go see it?
It is worth a look. If I were to grade it on the Marvel scale, I would give it a 6.5 out of 10. I enjoyed it. They made some decisions that, me knowing some of the comic book background and some of the other characters in it, didn't make a ton of sense to me. And as always, Marvel still has a villain problem.
Yeah.
But you're going to enjoy your popcorn. You're going to enjoy the spectacle. There are going to be some great new characters coming into Marvel Universe. I'm more excited to see them interact together. There are two post-credit scenes, one mid-credits and one at the end. There you go.
Cool.
Yeah. I thought, you know, I think I said this before we had started, but it's been a long time since Marvel's had to do another origin movie. Mm-hmm. They've been doing so many ensemble casts for the last, you know, decade and a half.
Yeah.
That they kind of had to reestablish what it's like to do an origin movie. I think, you know, got some new talent into the MCU, introduced a little bit more background. I was watching it and I didn't feel like it was a Marvel movie for some parts of it. I think that's just because I've gotten so used to ensemble casts. So I think it is a little bit of a slowdown in the pace of the MCU, but I think that's also good. I mean, that you need to introduce new blood.
I liked it.
And this is just kind of the cost of having to do that is you just have to slow things down a little bit, spend a little bit more time on exposition, reintroduce new characters, introduce new, canon. But I think they're slowly creeping out the universe and trying to expand it further and further.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well for that reason. It was like going into, and you don't have that burden of the Thanos, the gauntlet, all that stuff is now in the rear view. So you got like, you can have a movie like this. It's almost like the X-Files, the Monster of the Week type film.
It didn't feel beholden to a path that was predetermined by the larger MCU.
Yeah. So it was kind of refreshing to be able to do that and not worry about the overall story. So
what did you think? What was your rundown?
I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun with it. I mean, again, like I say, you're going to enjoy your popcorn. It's not anything staggering. It's not going to break the storyline of the MCU, the mythology wide open, but it was very good for what it was. A good standalone story, like well cast, great martial arts scenes. CGI got a little over the top toward the end.
Yeah.
It was a bit much, but still, I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun.
Worth seeing in theaters?
Yes, I understand totally if you guys out there have concerns about the Delta variant. It will be on Disney Plus in 45 days from its release. So, it's definitely worth waiting for if you're nervous. I totally get that. So,
yeah.
You know.
I think find a matinee, if you can.
Yeah.
Find something empty where you can get a seat to yourself.
Yeah, there was like three or four other people in my screening, so it wasn't bad at all. Yeah. And they were across the theater, so.
Nice.
Yeah. But this has been a little mini-sode of Cinema Vino, Break It Down Shang-Chi for you guys, and Legend of the Ten Rings.
Spoiler-free.
Now in theaters only. And in October, it will debut on Disney+. So, and then we will be shortly coming out with a more detailed analysis. So see the movie, come back and listen to us break it down a little more.
Chock full of spoilers.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to break everything down.
Yep. So,
we love you guys. Sean, Jordan, Travis, Bud.
Thanks for having me, guys. Y'all.
Yeah.
Love all of both you guys.
Yeah.
I love you guys. Taylor, even if he doesn't get that Yeti.
He's okay. So, whimper and a bang.
Whimper and a bang.
A toot and a snort.
You can listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available. Our website is at cinemavino.net, and reviews of these movies can be found at toddwatfermovies.com.